God has led us on an awesome journey with it. If you haven't been here for the series, when we started with Foundations for Community, we talked about how sacrificial love produces a covenant relationship. We talked about how unconditional love produces intimacy in our relationships. And we talked about how self-love will teach us how to create healthy boundaries in our life, right? Because it really, you know, the kingdom of God is all about relationships, right? It's all about you and me. We want the kingdom to advance, but we don't truly get the fact that it only advances between us, people, as we add people to the kingdom, as we bring people into the family. And so we've been talking about One Life Community Church and our thoughts on culture, and we're not here to build a church, we're here to build a community of believers that are healed, to heal other people, and a community of believers that have been transformed or changed so they can go out and change our community. And so last week we discovered the value of family. We discovered that connection, communication, and consistency are key foundational things needed in the community of believers to survive, for us to learn how to do life together, right? It's all about life on life. That's what we were called to do. Jesus taught the disciples, the 12 disciples, he taught them that it was about doing life together. For 3.5 years, they walked around together. Have you ever thought about what some of those end of the day conversations looked like? I know I would have been like up Jesus's butt. I would have been like, man, why'd you do that? What's that mean? You know, because I'm like one of those inquisitive type people. Can you imagine Peter and John just sitting there by a fire? Man, did you see what Jesus did today? That was amazing. I want to do that. Let's ask Jesus tomorrow how we can do that too. They did life together for 3.5 years. It was the model of what church community looks like. Us living together, us eating meals together. And throughout this series, we've been in and around the book of Acts with scriptures, and we can see all through Acts what an early church community looked like. They were meeting daily. They were praising the Lord. They were bringing everything that they had to each other that needed it. We saw some scriptures that said when people are hurting in our community, we're supposed to hurt with them, but we're also supposed to come and bring healing to them, not throw salt in the wound. Right? God is doing something beautiful in the kingdom right now. He is raising up communities that have seen it done wrong and willing to say, I'm willing to trust and plug in to a community that's going to try to do it right. And when I say do it right, that doesn't mean perfection. That just looks like a group of people that are humbly submitted to each other, to serve each other, to love each other, to do life with each other, to run to each other when it's messy, not run over each other. So today we're going to discover the foundation of community, of what your life, the importance of your life, and importing Jesus, come. Importing your life into this community, because your life matters. Every life in here matters, and every single person in here has a role. We're not going to talk about anointings this morning. We're not going to talk about positions this morning. We're not going to talk about titles this morning. We're going to talk about your life laid down for God in a community. Because that's what it looks like. I think last week I shared with you guys, I have no idea how I got up here. I have no idea how I got the microphone. It wasn't anything that I did. Right? It just happened that way. Probably because I can run my mouth for about an hour and a half and and fill it with some funny stuff. I don't know. Right? So God has chosen us before the foundations of the world. Before he created this planet, he already knew in him what we would be. And I the more I study the kingdom of God, the more I am convinced that it's about people. It's not a realm, although it is a realm. But it's about us. It's about us doing life together. It's about us sacrificing for each other. So we talked about all of these elements. We talked about how all of these foundations come together. And I think I finished out yesterday, or last Sunday, talking about that we need to be creating a greenhouse environment in our community. A greenhouse protects from the elements outside. A greenhouse takes damaged plants and brings them into a sheltered place to be repotted and soiled into fertile soil so it can begin to have new, fresh growth, to begin to draw strong roots in that soil so when it goes back to be planted outside, it can withstand the elements that come against it. Everybody say, I'm in a greenhouse today. So our goal as a staff and leadership is to create an environment where people can come in, be healed, but not only that, be equipped, and then released to the purpose that God's called you to do. And that might look like serving in another ministry. It might look like you serving on your job. It might look like you serving in your family. Because ministry is not a church building. Ministry is not One Life Community Church Corporation. Ministry is life on life with each other. So, if you feel called to the ministry, praise the Lord, every single one of you are. You're called to minister to every single person in this room, one way or another. I was getting my sermon notes ready this week and looking at different scriptures, and I heard the Lord say as I was talking with him, do you want to be a soup kitchen or a restaurant? And I was like, dang. And I began to think about the differences between a soup kitchen and a restaurant. And when I said earlier that this message is going to be all about you today, it's going to be all about you. It's going to be about your perspectives. It's going to be about the lenses that you're wearing when it comes to serving a ministry or a local church. Because sometimes we can walk into a building and think, I'm at the restaurant. I get to pick what I want to eat. Come on. I get to tip depending on how well I feel like I got fed today or served. And I get to throw my napkin on the plate and walk out. This is not a restaurant. We're a soup kitchen, man. Because in soup kitchens, soup kitchens work off 100% donations. Soup kitchens work off of 100% of people believing in the cause, believing in the culture that's created there, and saying, I want to step in and I want to serve people that need to get soup. They need some warm nutrients. You know, I've served at Bridging the Gap in Noonan, and if you've never served there, they are an amazing food ministry in this community. They're doing amazing. They're feeding tons of people. They're doing it a kingdom way. I just truly believe 100% in them. They bring the needy, homeless, the less fortunate, they bring them into their building to a table that's set up. They serve them breakfast while other people behind the scenes are packaging food for them. And while they're eating, there's some worship music going on. When they get done eating, they share a little piece of Jesus with them. They're not trying to force anything on anybody, but just truth, and share with them who Jesus is and how much he loves them. And then they can get up, go out to their cars, and their food's in their car, and they take off. What an honorable way to serve our community, to serve people that are less fortunate. There's people that I know that struggle for food that don't go to certain food banks because they feel demeaned, they feel belittled when they go there. But this place, man, they're doing it right. If we take that and we try to apply that to our culture, maybe you needed soup when you first came here. Or maybe you still need soup, and we're serving out this warm soup, this nutrients to restore your strength, to heal you, to bless you, to honor you. And when that time comes, it's time for you to step up and begin to serve soup to other people. Turn that AC off, would you? Please. Golly, my ears are numb. I know you big guys are sweating back there. Come sit up front. It's all blown up here. Sorry, squirrel. We're a soup kitchen, man. We're a soup kitchen for the kingdom of God. This isn't a restaurant. So we need to renew our minds. We need to change our thinking. We need to repent of the ideas and the thoughts that we had of what church is supposed to look like or should look like, because we're going to be a soup kitchen. And there's going to become a point in time when we ask you to start helping serve the soup. Three keys to bringing your life into community. Number one, giving. Are you just tipping a restaurant or funding a kingdom cause? Come on. Number two, serving. Everyone gets a turn. Number three, growing. Maturing is a requirement in the kingdom. Now here's the deal. I'm not here to put guilt and shame on you. I'm not here to convince you that you should be serving this body of believers. I'm not here to do any of that. I'm here to release some information to you this morning, and I pray that it hits your hearts and that you hear my heart as I teach it, but it's all about you guys this morning, okay? So let's just pray before we get any further into this thing. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your initial design for the local church was to be a soup kitchen, a spiritual soup kitchen. Father, I ask that this morning you begin to renew our minds to what church should look like, what a body of believers should look like. Lord, I ask that you allow seeds to hit fertile soil this morning in the hearts of the men and women in here. That we begin to understand what you're speaking to us, Holy Spirit, what you're saying to us, Lord, that we begin to be a revelation of our life and what our life looks like connected in a community, connected to each other, serving each other, and loving each other. I praise you. I worship you. I pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Giving. Are you just tipping a restaurant or funding a kingdom cause? Now, I love the people that say, well, there's no such thing as the tithe in the New Testament. Obviously, you haven't read the scriptures because Jesus had a treasurer. It's in John. If Jesus had a treasurer, that tells me that people were bringing money or monetary value to his ministry. Because they believed him. They believed in the kingdom. Giving is not about this leadership. Giving is not about this church. Giving is totally about you and your heart. And you and God. What you decide to give on Sunday is a reflection of your obedience and your trust in Him. I had a real problem with giving my money away to churches back in the day. This was Matt BC, kind of. I was borderline going after Jesus and still chasing after my thing. Now, Judy grew up in a Pentecostal church. She knew all about the tithe and all this stuff, you know. And I grew up in church knowing that giving was part of it. But I had a really big problem with handing churches money because of all the different stuff out there of how it's been abused, right, by church leadership. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, Matt, you do your job when you put it in the bucket. After that, it doesn't matter what happens. They're accountable to that. So if you're letting a ministry that's manipulated funds or hasn't used your money correctly and you decided you're not going to give, I'm here to tell you, you have an issue with control. And if we're to talk about restaurants in the church, you wouldn't go eat at Golden Corral and then walk across the street to IHOP and pay for your meal. So our pastor at the time, when I was really being challenged about releasing my money to a church, he comes up with this 90-day challenge thing, right? And you sign this piece of paper and you say, okay, I'll give my giving for 90 days. I'll test God in this because we know the scripture and where it says test God. And Judy was all excited. She's like, oh, my husband's finally on board with this, you know. We're going to get blessed. The very next week, the transmission went out in our car. I said, Judy, this is a bunch of, it don't work. And she said, 90 days. You got to give God 90 days. The next week, our dishwasher went out. I said, at the time, Judy and I were both working, making really good, decent money, and we could put a huge chunk in the giving. And I said, man, we could have bought a transmission and a dishwasher for what we threw in that bucket. And she said, Matt, give God 90 days. Well, I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I'll just say this. God proved to me in 90 days that he's faithful. And our truck got fixed. We got a new dishwasher. Money kept coming in. Different things were happening in my life. It's not always just about the finances coming back to you. It's about God stepping into what you're doing with him. Now, I could share testimonies for hours up here about money. That's not the point of this. The point is your life is called to come into this community and God tells you to give. You're to give to the kingdom cause that's going on in this community. Now, here's the deal. If you don't believe in what this leadership's been called to do, bless you. But don't come here and eat every Sunday and get fed We need money to change the world. These lights cost money. That AC running costs money. That coffee you drink in the lobby costs money. Now, I'm not up here begging you guys for money. I'm up here asking you guys to renew your mind to what money is. Because some of us covet money. Some of us have more trust and faith in what money can do in our lives than God. And if you didn't have something to give this morning, this is not a guilt trip. This is saying, you start with a quarter, man, and when you watch what God does. But you have to start somewhere. Your responsibility is to give so we can serve soup. There comes a point in time where we stop eating the soup and we start feeding ourselves, but different individuals need to come in here and they need this soup kitchen. They need this environment to be healed. They need this place to reconnect with God. And it's your responsibility. If you believe in what One Life Community Church has been called to, you believe in our leadership, that we hear God's voice, that we're not here to manipulate you, we're not here to line our pockets. By the way, I'm going to put this out there. I've been doing this for 4 years. I still don't even make what a part-time pastor's salary would be paid in this church. And I'm not complaining about it. God's provision has been here. So I'm saying I'm not here for money, people. I'm here to change this community through what God's called me to do. You want to see God start actively moving in your finances? Start releasing them. Judy and I are the beautiful balance in everything. For a long time, I kept trying to convince her she was supposed to be like me until God showed me, no, she needs to be opposite of you because you need a balance, bro. I am naturally a giver. I would take my debit card out and empty my bank account for someone. Now, either that's stupidity or I just really trust Jesus. Judy would say stupidity. So, she is the balance, though. And part of that balance comes into knowing what's bread and what's seed. We talked about that before here. I'm just going to touch on it. God brings you bread. Bread is for you to eat. Seed is for you to throw it out there so it can be harvested. When you learn the difference, you'll learn what to give, when to give, and who to give it to. We do an outreach to our community. We try to do it every other week. It roughly budgets right around $60. We make hot dogs. We get chips and stuff. The stuff we're doing isn't free, people. But if you believe in what we're doing, you're going to bring your giving in here. You're going to bring your life in here. You're going to bring your wallet in here. Because that's part of your life. It's part of serving this community. It's part of saying, I'm willing to put this in the bucket so my brothers and sisters can sit in a warm building to worship God. Because if it was up to me, man, I'd live out of an RV and preach Jesus on the beaches. John says he's going after that. But here's the deal. We look into the scriptures. We look in the early church, and they were meeting in homes. Do you think people just showed up and said, well, you got to eat? By the way, let me bring a plate home with me, too. I promise you, they were showing up with all they had, it said in the scriptures. Don't say nothing about 10% in the New Testament. You're right. Jesus said, give everything you have. I hear you clapping. We're going to put these buckets back out in a minute then. I'm just kidding. Listen, man. Who's heard my $20 bill story here? Okay. Then Pastor Will's back there. He's like, don't do it again. I'm going to shorten it. I got seed one day. It was a $20 seed. I knew immediately it wasn't for me. I knew it was seed. Over the course of the day, I gave away $260 because $20 bills, every time I gave it away, a seed came back. By the end of the day, I'd given away $260 to all kinds of different, crazy different things happen. 10 o'clock at night, long day of ministry. You guys know what I'm talking about. I put my wallet on my dresser, same spot every day because I'm kind of weird like that. I know, it's not weird. GD says I'm anal about things, but that's another story. So I put my wallet up on the dresser, and I go to walk out of the room, and I hear the Lord very gently say, open up your wallet. And I'm like, why? It's empty. He's like, open the wallet, hardhead. And I go over there, and there's a $20 bill in my wallet that was never there. Just release that to you guys. Judy's trying to catch it. Don't work that way, lady. Listen, you can come in here and you can tip, man, but God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows your heart. He knows where you're spending your money on. He knows what you're doing. You might fool us, but you're not fooling him. He knows that you spent $80 in the bar last night. He knows that you spent $490 at Starbucks this week. No, it's not. That's like five trips to... No, I'm just kidding. That's a lot of coffee. Starbucks gets you, boy. He knows. He knows where your money's going, man. You know, Howard, he just passed last week, and you know what? Howard didn't have a lot of stuff left, man. But the inheritance that he left, the ministries that he sowed into, man, I can't imagine the crowns that he's going to be throwing at people at Jesus' feet in heaven. See, when you really learn how to live for eternity, money really becomes obsolete here in the sense of you holding on to it. And a closed hand is never ready to receive anything else because it's constantly holding on to what you have. And it's really, the enemy has really took the body of Christ into a place of a poverty spirit. And you can break that poverty spirit just in the name of Jesus. And if you feel like you've been holding on to things, or you feel like you have a challenge in giving and serving ministries through money, then I just challenge you, go home today, get in your prayer closet and say, I break this poverty spirit in the name of Jesus. And then you ask the Holy Ghost, say, come and tell me what's the truth about money. And he'll speak to you. 2 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, pull them out. If you have your apps, pull them out. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. I'm reading from NIV this morning. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus and the rich man. The rich man goes to Jesus and said, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, okay, I need you to do this too then. So if you're happy with 10%, guess what? Jesus is saying, I need you to do this then. It's time to turn it up. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. I'm saying this just to release this over you guys because God is supernatural. I have no idea how Judy, we just, you know, tithe statements are coming out, and I hope everybody got theirs. If not, see Debbie Beard. And I saw our tithe statement versus our income, and I said, oh my God, how did we eat all year? Amen. I didn't miss a meal this year. Man, I went to the beach 3 times this year. When I was making tons of money, I could only afford 1 vacation. Something about Jesus, man. There's something about a life laid down to him in every area. We walk around and we say, well, I raise my hands during worship, but you don't put nothing in the bucket. You're not laid down. Each of you should give what you decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Giving was a huge part of the early church. We see Paul would collect from each church as he went to it, and he'd bring it to Jerusalem, and it was distributed. So if you want to say that giving wasn't a part of the new early church, you're wrong. You haven't read the scriptures correctly. There's references to it all over the scriptures, beginning with Jesus and his treasurer. Okay? It's all about you this morning. This is about you. This isn't about you giving so this church can grow. It's about you giving your life and community, giving your wallet up and saying, God, I trust you. You're going to bless me through this. Jesus said there was a cost, right? Got to be willing to pay it, man. Point number 2, serving. Everyone gets a turn. Here's a scary statistic for you. 20% of a church body carries the other 80%. That means if there's 100 people, 20 people are consistently and constantly serving the other 80 people. And that sucks. That's horrible. If you don't understand that you're here not just to sit in a pew chair, but you're here to serve. You're in the soup kitchen. There's things that need to be done. Bathrooms need to be cleaned. Floors need to be vacuumed. Trash needs to be taken out. Part of bringing your life into community is saying, I'm going to serve this community, even on Sunday. And I want you guys to go beyond a Sunday service, go beyond a Wednesday night Bible study, serve each other all week long. There are individuals in this room that I know I could pick up my phone at any time and say, I need this, and they would be there. Because we're in covenant. We have intimacy in our relationship. We have healthy boundaries with each other. But they're serving a community. They're serving a relationship. And as we come in here and we have parking, you're serving each other when you serve on the parking team. If you're cleaning the church, you're serving your brothers and sisters to come into a clean environment to worship the Lord. It's not about a church and a building, people. And I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize for all of the church communities that took advantage of people and took advantage of these things. But what would it look like if we become that community that 100% is in? 100% serving each other. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord has just been bringing this message to us, to this body, because I believe that we're going to have an influx of people that need to eat soup and we need to be ready to serve them. You If you want an opportunity to serve, maybe it's in parking on Sunday or cleaning or the kids' church, then go see Pastor Will, see Pastor Donnie, see Mike. They'll tell you who's in charge of what, and they'll get you on a rotation. It's not a every Sunday we need you to come in here and do this. If 100% serving, it might look like once a month or once every 6 weeks you need to do something. With me? Your life committed to serving someone else and serving this community is a requirement. It's not a request. It's all through the scriptures. And I could just beat you over the head this morning, and that's just stupid. It's got to be a heart thing, man. It's got to be a thing when you walk in here and the Holy Spirit is telling you to serve each other. Love each other. Mark 9:35 says this, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last. And he finished it with this, and a servant of all. I know that you guys have demands on your life. I know that you guys have children, family, all of this going on. But part of being in community is being willing to sacrifice some things. Creating healthy boundaries to serve each other. You're not serving an organization. Let's just renew our minds right now this morning. You're not serving One Life Community Church Incorporated when you come here on a Sunday. You're serving the person that's sitting next to you right now. You're serving the people that are in this room. I talk to a lot of evangelists. If you don't know what an evangelist is, they kind of go place to place preaching the gospel, different churches. And the ones that are stewarding God very well in their lives, they all had to pastor a church at one time. And it's because you have to learn people before you can minister to people. You have to get to that place where you have compassion for every single person in this room. Because every time Jesus moved, he saw that person with compassion. If we're not filled with compassion, we're not going to be able to serve each other the way God has called us to serve each other. Number three, growing. Maturing is a requirement. Let me say that again. Maturing is a requirement. You know, I look into the scriptures and I see Paul's letters to the Corinth church. And man, they're moving in all these gifts, right? They're prophesying, they're speaking in tongues, they're healing and all this stuff's going on, man. But they did not know community. They didn't know how to love each other, right? That's where Paul writes about love. If you're doing all this and you don't love, it's just a bunch of noise, right? We can come in here and we can have a powerful worship service with the Lord. The Holy Spirit can blow in the room. Gifts can manifest. And if we're not loving each other, if we're not laying down our life in community for each other, it's a bunch of noise, man. And the world is hearing a bunch of noise from the church right now. Because they hear people saying, love, 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 and then they see judgment, 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 or criticism, criticism, criticism. Let me tell you something. I'm going to preach my heart for a second. There was a story on Facebook about a Chick-fil-A manager praying for this homeless guy. And then I see Christians judging the Chick-fil-A guy because he supposedly said, if you don't let me pray for you, I won't give you any food. we're going to criticize someone who stepped out to pray for someone because supposedly this statement was made, which I don't believe. Man, we got to get past each other, man. That's crazy, man. If I was a non-believer, you just reinforced my belief that Christians are fake. You didn't encourage me to run towards a Jesus who loves me. We might not all have it figured out. We might not all have the same beliefs. But for God's sake, let's all get on the same team. Let's all run after the same thing. His name's Jesus. In this community, we need to be encouraging each other, lifting each other up. You might not have it all figured out. Guess what? I'm okay. I'm okay with loving you exactly where you're at. I'm okay even with loving you if your belief system isn't exactly like mine. As long as we're running after Jesus, man, we're doing something right. We got to quit trying to knock each other down, man. I said it last week. We're running over each other instead of running to each other. Criticizing someone for praying. That's crazy, man. Second Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Paul wrote a letter to the Corinth church and he said, "You guys are immature." My point is this, you can be operating in giftings, but you can be immature in Christ. He writes a letter to the Ephesians church, and he says, let's just leave all this elementary stuff behind because there's deeper things in God that we need to get into. We're wasting our time back here worrying about this stuff. It's time to mature. It's time to grow up in Christ. Now I see people on Facebook arguing about, you know, once saved, always saved, salvation, all this crazy stuff, man. And theology is important, I get that. I get that, trust me. I had to go to school for 4 years. I was more confused about God when I learned about theology than what the Holy Spirit taught me. When I got done with my first class, I said, well, I don't even know what's going on right now. Jesus, come. There's a doctrine for everything. I get it. Some theology is very important, and some is just secondary theology that doesn't matter. And we see believers that are fighting over it, arguing about it, and you have unbelievers that are saying, I don't want anything to do with this group of people. We are called to disciple each other. That doesn't look like me convincing you what to believe. It looks like me loving you. It looks like me imparting my life to you. It looks like me saying, can I pray with you? It looks like me saying, can I have a meal with you? Y'all make me a promise. Just don't argue about God on Facebook. And I say that with humility because God deserves so much more than 149 characters to explain who he is. And we throw up scriptures with poor interpretations. And we look like a bunch of cuckoo birds. If you want to shout from the rooftops, God is good, do it. You don't have to convince people what to believe, man, because people are only going to believe what they see you live out. And it's really easy to try to portray yourself as a believer on Facebook with a scripture or a quote or an ideal But I want to see you live it out in your life. That's maturing. Uh-oh, give him a prophetic word. We have to begin to mature. We have to begin to move forward into what God's called us to do for each other. Personally, I think maturity means you're learning how to lay down your life daily, not just to God, but to each other, within this community, within your work environment. And I think about some of the jobs that I had in the past before I was a believer and the impact I could have had on them. And I don't walk in guilt and shame, because I am a walking encounter for Jesus now everywhere I go. We got to grow up, man. We got to quit doing the things that we think are okay, but it's really just preventing us from receiving the more that God has for our life. Reaping and sowing is a very rare principle. We just saw it in the scriptures. It even comes down to our life. What are you sowing out of your life to others? I was so blessed Friday night to see three different churches show up here to go bless our community. Friday night was 46 degrees. My toes were hurting. But man, to see people impacted by God. Were there salvation prayers? No. Well, you should have been praying salvation with them, brother. No, I just got to be Jesus to them. We saw a guy's back get healed supernaturally. So what are you feeling, man? He said, man, my back's hot. It's on fire. Wes was there praying with me. He's going like this. Looking at us like we're crazy. Maturity is us laying down our lives to serve each other in this community, to serve this ministry, to serve the kingdom, to what God's called us to do. We want to see Noonan change. We want to see a transformation in this community. We got to start growing up, man. What if we walked in here every Sunday with the mentality that this was a soup kitchen? Would we be more willing to serve? Would we be more willing to give more? Because this is a soup kitchen, guys. It's not a restaurant. All right, you guys stand up because you look like you're about to fall asleep. I pray that these past 4 weeks going through this series that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you the necessity of being engaged, connected in a community, being in relationship with each other, learning to trust people even when intimacy has been broken in an environment or a church environment with other people. Learning to love each other unconditionally. Learning what sacrificial love really looks like. Staying connected even when it gets messy. I can't promise you that this community has it all figured out. And if you're new here today, you probably think we're a little crazy anyways, and that's okay because we are. We're crazy for Jesus. But we're not going to walk around like we all have it going on, like we have it together. But we will walk around and love each other and serve each other. Amen? You guys worship with me one last song? Then we'll get out of here and go to Golden Corral or something? Two people ready to worship. Sounds good. All right, come on.